Hi, everybody. This is Jeremy. My wife, Candace, and I are the pastors at the Ridge Assembly at Park Hill. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. We hope this message connects with you, that inspires you, reveals God's word of truth in your life. Be encouraged and enjoy the message. Guys, we're in a series about stability. We've been talking about this since the beginning of the year. And the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about some specifics, things that we've got to be doing, not just in general, but specifically. We talked about stability in our message, right? And that is the idea that the Word of God doesn't change. And our presentation of the Word of God and the truth of the Word of God cannot change. No matter what culture goes through, the ups and the downs and the this and that, doesn't matter. The Word of God doesn't change. Then we talked about stability in our environment, right? Making a sanctuary of peace where you can feel the presence of God. That includes the sanctuary, like the church. But I would even say maybe more importantly, because you're there more often, it includes things like your house, your room, your office, your cubicle, whatever it is, right? You've got to find a place where you can experience the peace of God, even in our crazy world. So we talked about stability in environment. Last week we talked about stability in faith, and that one's not a fun one because it's easy to have faith when things are going good. The problem is things don't go good all the time, and it's up and it's down, and so we've still got to maintain stability in our faith through all of that. Those are some specific things, but in general, guys, the people of God, us, we have to be stable. We've got to be steady-handed. We've got to be secure and sure, especially as we continue to see that day approach, because stability is going to guard our prosperity, and by that, I mean way more than money. I'm talking about hope and peace and our own sanity and wisdom that's going to allow us to take action and not just reaction. Stability is going to be our safe harbor for our families and our loved ones, and the beacon of hope that's going to help see prodigals come home. So today we're going to keep cruising through it, and today we're going to talk about stabilizing our schedules. So quick disclaimer, this is not a self-help sermon. So there's a lot of shared themes with secular circles, right? You can get some great time management books or courses, and 7 Habits of the Highly Effective, whatever's going to sell the next book, right? You can go on LinkedIn Learning. There's tons of stuff that you can do to manage your time better, and I definitely recommend those. But this is the church, and we're kingdom focused. And so today we're going to talk about managing our schedules, stabilizing them in a way that's going to allow growth of our spirit man. Because the way you spend your time, the way that you stabilize your schedule in the midst of chaos and craziness, will either allow growth or allow erosion of your spirit man. The way you manage your schedule will either deposit to or will withdraw from your influence investments. Talking about leadership in your family, right? And influence with your kids, the godly voice in the community, right? The ability to be heard, all of those things, it matters. The way you manage your schedule will either strengthen or starve the warrior inside of you. So in a society where we've got to contend for the faith, we must not face the enemy from a point of anemia. But it's hard. It's so very hard to stabilize our schedules, even small chunks of time, 100%. Guys, we've got demanding jobs. I've had a pretty cushy job for the last couple of years because I went from being a crazy, you know, project manager and all over the place, and then I changed jobs, and I think I'm about to change it again, and now it's going to go crazy again. And so there's all of this dynamic. I know what it's like to work hard and in a fast-paced environment, and it's crazy how much that erodes on what else you want to do. I know what it's like to have kids in sports. I know what it's like to chase all of, there's always something going on. I get it. Life is crazy and schedules are dynamic. And just when you think that you've conquered everything, there's a repair that has to go on around the house, or you've got to change the oil, or you've got to do something. There's always something to do. There's always something vying for your time. I'm not saying it's easy. On top of all of the that kind of stuff, I honestly believe that the devil himself is trying to distract and discourage us from keeping our commitments when it comes to kingdom things. So I'm not here today to say that it's easy. I'm here today to say that it's necessary, that we've got to stabilize our schedule, bring stability to our emotions, our environment, and master our schedules. Create a couple of routines that are going to foster righteousness and revelation. And it's hard for us, but it's possible. So we're going to cruise into the Word of God, and we're going to see a fellow that had a lot of reasons to abandon his schedule, but ended up doing it quite well. A guy named Daniel. Maybe you've heard of him. Daniel in the lion's den. Well, the reason he ended up in the lion's den is because he kept his schedule. So we're going to jump into this. Daniel chapter number 6. A little background information. Daniel, Hebrew guy living in Israel, he was captured when he was a teenager and taken down to Babylon. But Daniel was faithful to the Lord the whole time. He was blessed by God, and he lived in blessing. The Bible says that the Spirit of God was with him, and that he was handsome and strong. I read that and I think, man, God, would you do the same work in me? But the Bible says he was handsome and strong, and that he had wisdom of the Holy Spirit. And so because of these things, he was blessed. Everywhere he went, everything that he touched prospered. And so he was living in Babylon, not as a Babylonian, but as a Hebrew, but he still gained position in that kingdom, and he started working his way up. So many, many, many years later, about the time he's about 70 years old, King Darius decides to set up a leadership structure to help him govern. And so he appoints 120 little rulers called satraps, which is kind of a strange word, but about 120 of these little guys to help manage the kingdom. And then over those 120, he decides to set 3 administrators over them, right? So then you got Darius, the king, 3 administrators, 120 satraps, and they are running the kingdom. And that's where things start going south for Daniel, because it turns out that the 120 and the other 2 didn't like Daniel because they were jealous of what God was doing in his life. God was making him prosperous. And they're like, wait a minute, I want to have that same influence. I want to have that same authority. And so they were jealous. And that's where we're going to pick up here in Daniel chapter number 6. Let's go ahead and start reading in verse 3. So Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. So he's going from being one of 3 that's in the number 2 position to being number 2 in the kingdom. At this, verse 4, at this, the administrators and satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, we'll never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God. Verse 6, so the administrators and satraps went as a group to the king and said, may King Darius live forever. The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or human during the next 30 days, except you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, your majesty, issue a decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered in accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed. So King Darius put the decree in writing. When Daniel learned that the decree had been published, you can't pray to anybody else except for King Darius for the next 30 days. That's written. When Daniel learned that the key, that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room, where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. 3 times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to God just as he had always done. He decided that he was going to keep that schedule. That no matter what was going on around him, that he was going to keep his commitment to meet with God. Because in doing so, the richness of the blessings of the Lord and that fellowship with God was more important than anything else. So from here, the story gets kind of familiar. You guys know the whole thing. The people that were jealous of Daniel in the first place go to the king and said, "Hey, king, guess what? Daniel's still praying." And gets thrown into the lion's den and all of that kind of stuff. Now, the angels protect him and shut the mouth of lions, and it's this great story. Go home and read the rest of Daniel chapter number 6. He even gets a shout out in Hebrews 11 that we read last week, right, when it talks about, you know, by faith they conquered kingdoms and then shut the mouths of lions. That's a shout out to Daniel. All these amazing things. Read the whole chapter. It's great. But I'll tell you this, that Daniel was able to face the lion's den because he had already made the decision. But there were some things that were too important for him to stop, and that included his routine of prayer. There are some routines, there are some schedules that are worth defending, things that are worth stabilizing, so that even when the rest of the world is shaking around you, you have to hold some things to be sacred in order to let stability run throughout the rest of your life. Okay, here we go. What are these things? Number one, what are they? Well, what's the big stuff? These are the rocks. Okay, so here's the thing. We can't commit to stabilizing our whole schedules, right? We can't do that. We have to be agile. We have to have room to grow. We have to take on new responsibilities and new opportunities. And we've got to have a little bit of capacity to manage some unforeseen urgencies. And yeah, all of these things, that's life. That's what happens. But there are some things that should be treated like rocks. You guys know the analogy? I'm not crafty enough to actually bring any kind of like visual aids, but maybe you guys have seen the thing where you've got a table and a vase, like a glass vase, and you've got a rock, like a big rock, and then you've got some gravel and sand and some water. You guys seen this? Okay, sorry if you haven't, like, YouTube it later. It's great, right? But the idea is that you've got this vase and you've got these, a big rock, some gravel, some sand, and some water. And what happens if you start on the small side and you put the water, then the sand, then the gravel in, it fills up and you can't get the rock in. But if you do it in the other way, right, you put the big thing in first, then you put the gravel in and you shake it down, and it flows around it. Then you put the sand in and you shake it and it flows around it, and you start, you're very efficient with your use of your volume. And what it means is that for us in life, there are some things that are rocks, and they're the big things, and that's what we've got to put in first. That the truth of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, we've only got 24 hours in a day. You got to sleep sometimes. You should definitely take a shower. You probably have to go to work. All of these things, like, so you start whittling that away, and there's not that many hours left. And so there are some things that you've got to put into what's remaining, and it's got to be in there first. Because if not, you're going to run out of space. And what you're going to find is if you put the big things in first, not only do they fit, because if you put the small things in first, they're going to get kicked out, but if you put them in first, they fit, and you can fit more around it. Big stuff. And the big stuff is not necessarily long in duration. Sometimes it's short, sweet, but it's very significant. Things like prayer. You don't have to spend 45 minutes in prayer a day. If you do, praise God. Pray for me, right? Sometimes it's just a short devotion, but it matters. Sometimes it's a quick prayer before a meal. And it doesn't have to be one of these long things, you know. We had a lunch fellowship last week. You know, my prayers before lunch, I'm hungry, right? But it matters still that you set that aside so that your kids are always watching, looking. And so even if you're out at a restaurant, you take 10 seconds and say, God, thank you for this. It matters. 10 seconds, but it matters. Prayer at bedtime, no matter what time that is. Prayer as a couple, every day, no matter what time that is. That's the rock, and these are not long things. I'm seeing a pattern here with the prayer thing, right? But to set those moments aside, it's going to matter in your life. Now, it's not long duration. We're not asking, but if you can stabilize that and says, you know what, I'm not going to start this day without reading the Word for one chapter and praying for a few seconds. I'm not going to start this day without hugging my wife and praying the covenant prayer, right? Praying as Jesus did. I'm not going to end the day without saying, guys, let's gather around and let's thank God for this day. Maybe it's big things. Maybe it's small things that are big. Maybe it's having dinner together. Maybe it's church attendance. You guys are here today, so you get a free pass. But this isn't a message just for today. This is a message for what's coming. And right now, man, the church in America, like, this is so easy. I love it, right? This is so easy. We got donuts. We got coffee. We got parking. Like, life is good. I don't know what the future holds, right? But we've got to hold some things as rocks in our schedule where even if it's difficult to attend church, even if it's difficult to pray together, even if it's difficult to do a short devotion, then it matters. And those are things that we've got to set aside. We've got to hold those sacred. Sometimes it's bigger stuff and it takes up more space, but it still matters. Maybe, a weekend retreat or an extended fast. And that's bad in a lot of ways, right? But it will grow your spirit, man. Maybe it's a missions trip. Maybe it's a family vacation. You're saying, well, Pastor Jeremy, you know what? Family vacations. Yes, guys, we can do all kinds of ministry everywhere else. But if we lose our family, I tell you what, we're going to suffer loss. And so you set some things aside as holy moments. And those are the big rocks. And you let other stuff fill in. You got to ask yourself, does this block of time, whatever it is, does this block of time, is it able to be set aside to build treasure in heaven? Is this activity that I'm doing, is this strengthening my spirit, man? Is it building the kingdom? Is it investing in loved ones that are looking to me to lead them in the ways of righteousness? If so, guys, those are rocks, and they've got to be in that vase. You got to find a way to meet your commitments, and the easiest way to do that is to figure out what the big stuff is and put the big stuff in first. All right, number two, the assault. Get it? It's not easy, being cheesy. It's not easy to keep your commitments because there's always something vying for your time. Yeah. If it were easy to make time to pray or to do a devotion or even to sit together and talk about your day, then everybody would do it. It's not. Here's some things that assault your schedule. Number one is change. The enemy of routine is change. And routine gets a bad rap because we think routine equals boring. It doesn't. Maybe it just equals consistent. And you can grow in consistency. Right? You go to the gym and you do a burnout workout. Well, that's fantastic. But you know how you're going to get stronger? You're going to get stronger if you do consistency more than one time burnout. Same thing in life, right? Change is not inherently bad, but it increases the criticality of stabilizing some parts of our schedule. Daniel, I'm telling you, he's a hero in this. But the first assault on his schedule wasn't when the satraps and the other administrators went to the king and said, hey, I got an idea. The first assault on his schedule of prayer was probably when he got carried off to Babylon. Because it was pretty easy for him to pray in Jerusalem. He's a teenager. He gets carried off to a whole different place. And can you imagine that craziness of change? And yet he decided to maintain his prayer. For us, ladies and gentlemen, there will be change in life. There's going to be new semesters and new jobs and new friends and new sports and new whatever. And it's going to come at you fast. Change happens. And through that, we've got to maintain our schedules. The big things, the things that matter. If it's not change, well, then maybe it's just too much stuff. Maybe it's just being busy. here again, our friend Dan shines. So not only was he carried off into captivity, that's kind of a bummer, but then because God was blessing him, he became number two in the kingdom. Now that sounds great, right? He probably had like a chariot parking spot, great retirement package, life is good. But it also meant that that was a very, very difficult job. And I can imagine he was very busy. He had a lot of decisions to make. He had a lot of things to keep track of, right? He didn't have a spreadsheet anywhere. There's like before, you know, he's like chiseling stuff out in rock. I don't know what they were doing. But I do know that he was busy. He was busy running stuff, and it was important stuff. He was second in command. He was running the whole kingdom. And so, guys, I'm telling you, one of the assaults on our schedule is just plain busyness. Things in life fit into four categories, and this you can probably find on LinkedIn Learning, but I've got this cool little thing up here for you, right? This is, you get the urgent stuff and the non-urgent stuff, and you got the important and the unimportant, and you can figure out how all this stuff, like where all of it goes, you can figure that out. This can be like a secular thing, but as a church, what I'm telling you is that the stuff that we talked about, right, our devotions, our prayer time, our meal time, where we're sharing the kingdom, where we're investing in the next generation, all I'm saying is that those need to go in the urgent and important category. Those are things that you can't let up on. So yeah, you can be busy, but you got to make sure that you properly identify the rocks, because we always have that assault coming at us, right? There's change, there's too much stuff, there's busyness, and there's the threat of the enemy. This is another one of the assaults. See, when nothing else worked to keep Daniel from praying, the satraps conspired to shut down Daniel by using the government against his relationship with God. This is threats of the enemy. Like, this is hardcore. Like, this isn't just you're busy. This is, I love the United States. I love our freedom. I love it. And I know that God is going to have a church no matter what the future of our crazy system holds, right? My hope isn't in politics. My hope isn't in any of that stuff. But I do know, according to the Word of God, the persecutions in the last days will increase. So last spring, I think it was last March, the whole world was shocked when a lady was arrested in the UK for praying outside of a Liverpool abortion clinic, silently praying on the sidewalk. And the whole world was like, oh my gosh, how did this happen? And it was kind of shocking. Yes, today we enjoy so much freedom. And it's great. Praise God. There are places in the world that don't. Can I tell you that as our society continues to love darkness more than light, that some of those things are going to be threatened also? Some of our freedoms are going to be threatened also? So there's going to come a point where not only is it going to be just change or busyness and stuff that's threatening our routine, there's going to come a point where the enemy himself is going to start leveraging influence to keep us from keeping our commitments. We have to choose right now, where things are pretty easy. We've got to choose right now. Do you know what? I don't know how long it's going to be before bowing your head in prayer at Cracker Barrel is going to be a hate crime. I don't know. But I can imagine that those things would come. I don't know how much longer it's going to be before, you know, already it's very difficult when we go into the schools in the Encouragers program. I love that program. We partner with some other churches, and I'm telling you, I'm excited about what God is doing, not just in our church, but in our community. It's great. But already, we can't use the name of Jesus or talk about church unless the kids ask. Already. And that's a huge change from even when I was a kid. Wasn't that long ago-ish. Stuff's changing, and guys, I'm telling you that the assault of the enemy is coming, so we've got to decide right now what we're going to hold sacred and what we're going to maintain even when it gets hard. All right, last but not least, we got to choose to remember. You know, there's the leadership guru, John Maxwell. You guys, he's a big big thing in church leadership, especially, you know, back in the day. You guys probably know stuff, right? One of my favorite quotes from anybody of all time is from John Maxwell. He says, events are good for decision and process is good for change. I like that. That's almost like shake a leg good, right? If that was given as a word of knowledge, yes, that would be shame. Events are good for decisions. Process is good for change. It's so easy to talk about stuff like this right now and to think, yes, I agree. But it's about making the decision every day to follow through. And that's where it can wear you down. So decide what's important, and it can't be everything. Decide what's important. It's things that grow your spirit, man. Things that increase the kingdom. Things that increase your influence to bring people into the kingdom. It starts with those that are closest to you, because that's whose God has given to you, and it goes out from there. And those are the important things. Decide today what those important things are and what you're going to do about it. Share it with somebody that you love, that you're connected to, right? A kid or a spouse or a best friend or whatever your thing is. And then decide to do it today. And tomorrow. Decide to do it tomorrow. And then the day after that, what is that, Tuesday? Tuesday morning, get up and decide that you're going to do it that day also. And then Wednesday, and you get a bonus because it's church day, right? But every day, it's about consistency and growing, and it's that rock, and it's going to stabilize so many things if we can just master our schedules, even on a very small level. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast today. We invite you to be part of our online community by subscribing to this podcast. Also, follow us on social media at The Ridge Assembly PH on Facebook and Instagram. If you live in the Central Arkansas area, we certainly invite you to be part of our live community. You can join us Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. at the Old Park Hill Elementary Building. That's at 3801 JFK Boulevard in North Little Rock. Thank you so much, and we'll see you next time.